praise you, Lord. Lord, I just pray for Canada. Lord, we pray for our new Prime Minister. Lord, you know the plans that you have for him. We pray your protection over this nation. Help us to help remind us that this nation belongs to you. Every nation in this world that you created belongs to you, for you formed it before we were even here. I thank you, Lord, that we can be part of the solution. Help us not to complain. Help us to stand up where we need to stand up. Help us to give them people a reason to live successfully. And that comes in you. And at this time, I want to pray for Pastor Shannon. Lord, I thank you for my dear sister. I thank you that you, before the foundation of the world, you had a plan and a purpose for her life. I thank you, Lord, that you speak to her. I thank you that she listens. And Lord, help us to glean from your word today. In your name I pray. Amen.
Anyhow. Well, good morning again. Good morning. It is a good morning. It is a good day. And again, we sing, to the goodness of God, this is the day that he has made, and we will rejoice in it. And we will rejoice in it. Every morning his mercies are new. Every morning. We have a God who is for us, not against us. We have a God who has done and given everything for us. This morning, I'm going to apologize right now. I normally put the PowerPoint on my thumb drive. I thought I had done that. We got it here, went to put it in, we couldn't find it. So it's somewhere in cyberspace or in a different file somewhere on my computer and not on the thumb drive like I thought it was. And I always check. But of course, I just went to the file. I just, anyway, la, la, la. Stuff happens, right? So that means you're going to have to look up the scriptures yourself. And you know what? That might not be a bad thing, right? That might not be a bad thing. Am I doing okay with the mic? Okay, because it keeps wanting to pop away from my cheek, so, and off my ear. So this morning we're going to start at 1 Corinthians. You know what? I'm just going to say this. I have it right there, and I didn't even read it. Okay, come on up, Wendell. Wendell had, I put it on my notes, and you know, you got to read your notes. Okay, go for it, Wendell.
Yeah, last week Shannon talked about our identity in Christ, about Christ living in us as believers. So in home group, as we're examining that, you know, question I had was, well, if Christ lives in all of us, then why don't we agree more? What's with all the disagreement divergent across believers if we all have Christ living in us, right? But then as we, the one verse had the word grace in it, and it kind of jumped out at me, and the phrase lens of grace. So when you look around at people, do you see their faults and failings or imperfections? But what if, as I believe God does, you see people through the lens of grace, and then I believe you'll see Christ. So that's my challenge for us. I just felt that I wanted to just share that, to view each other, starting here in this group and believers everywhere. Let's look at each other through the lens of grace.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Thank you, Wendell. Yeah. Yes. Amen. Amen. Okay, back to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23. We're going to go all the way to 34, but we're going to kind of break it up a little bit. And this is Paul talking to the Corinthians. And I want you to understand that Paul had been talking to them. They'd had some issues going on. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Let's read the scripture first. Let me not get ahead of myself. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For when you eat the bread and drink the cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." So again, let's take a look at Paul and what he has said there. Paul said, "I have received from the Lord what I now pass on to you." And then he describes what happened at the Last Supper. Now, how many of you know Paul wasn't there? Paul wasn't a part of the disciples sitting around that table. So Paul received a personal, intimate understanding of communion from the Lord. And so this morning, the message this morning, we're going to take communion at the end, is called communion. And we're going to look at communion. And God, I believe, in fact, I'm going to pray for you right now. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence in us and in amongst us, that you're here this morning to bring revelation to our hearts of the blood and the bread, of the blood and the wine, of the communion table, the body of Christ, to the body of Christ. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Paul goes on to say, "You proclaim the Lord's death." Every time we do this, we proclaim the Lord's death. I want us to start by looking at, there are two parts, two elements in the Lord's table. The bread, which is his body, and the cup, which is the new covenant, the shedding of his blood for forgiveness. And quite often we've spent the time talking about the forgiveness, but we don't spend enough time looking at the body. It says, "You proclaim the Lord's death." Well, why would we want to do that? Well, let's take a look at Isaiah 55. Got your Bibles and go Isaiah 55, verses 3 to 6. And I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. And this is talking about the kind of death Jesus was going to experience. The kind of death he knew, because he knew this scripture, the kind of death that he explained to his disciples. The kind of death that was going to happen, to which, remember last week when Jesus said, "The enemy, I'm telling you this stuff so that you, but you need to know the enemy has no claim on me." Listen to it here. Did I say 55? I apologize, 53. I have 53 written here. It is a morning. Okay, thank you, God. I will rejoice in it. Starting in verse 3. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, from our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he bore our..." Okay, let's stop at this, that right there. "We did not esteem him." No, I'm going to read on, sorry. "Surely he bore our grief or sicknesses, and carried our pain or sorrows." How about both? "Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." You see, that's how we look at people, or they look to their, if bad things are happening to you, it's because God is punishing you because you've done something wrong. And Jesus said to his disciples, no, no, no. The enemy has nothing on me. He's the pure and spotless lamb. But that was the way he was being viewed. They spit on him. They mocked him. They did all kinds of things. God is obviously afflicting him because he did something wrong. Verse 5. But he was wounded or pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed or bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, the blows that cut in, we are healed. Those extra things are in brackets. You would have seen them on the slide from the footnotes. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's no one who could say, I had a good life, I haven't done anything bad or wrong. All have, like sheep, gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own ways. But here's the thing. And the Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all. There's the body of Christ. There's Jesus on the day of his crucifixion, in his body, taking in himself all of this. He bore our sicknesses and grief, our pain and our sorrow. He took that beating, the blows that cut in, so we can be healed. He was crushed. He was pierced through for our screw-ups, for our sin. We could say mistakes, but let's get down and dirty. Some of them are pretty ugly. And he bore all of that for you and me. I proclaim his death. Shouldn't we be proclaiming his life? And shouldn't we be proclaiming the kingdom? Certainly. But when we come together to take the cup and to take the bread, we're proclaiming his death because it means something to us. And too often, we can come to this table and treat it like a ritual. And it is not. We gather together as the body of Christ, participating in the broken body of Christ because of what he did. What did you hear in that scripture from Isaiah that you need to recognize was taken care of for you? Is it sickness? Is it grief? Is it pain and heartache and sorrow? Is it sin? I'll tell you what, I could probably list all of them. But it was taken care of in the body of Christ on the cross. I'm going to proclaim his death and the good things I have. Are you? Yes. Do you? Yes. I loved what Crystal shared this morning about the word of God. Right there, the promises of God. We have a sword to defeat the enemy that comes at us in mind. And trust me, and I'll just be a little transparent here. I had a week, and I had to call my sister and say, would you pray with me? Because I was not in a good space. And she had to pray over me, and she reminded me, I'm going to say, honestly, it was Crystal, and prayed over me and reminded me of what God has done and where it lies and who fights my battles. And you know, you might be battling today. There's lots of things that, you know, and it seems to be getting more intense for us as believers. Lots of things coming. Lots of unexpected things. But I'm going to proclaim his death because of what it brought. We're not talking about just a horrible death and the suffering, but we're proclaiming and remembering what that death means to us. You know, when I was at Bible college, excuse me while I find a Kleenex, I appear to have a bit of a running nose, and it might be the front row might get sprayed if I don't get to take care of this.
It's the anointing.
It's the Holy Spirit. At Bible college, for one of the semesters in my third year, we took what was called the Great Exchange. And for a whole semester, we looked at what happened at the cross, the exchange that took place. And it starts, number one, Jesus was punished so that we might be forgiven. And if you're looking for a scripture, it's from Romans 8, one of them at Romans 8, 12. There is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. He paid the price. He not merely backpacked or bore our sins, but he became our sin. I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get there. Jesus was wounded so we might be healed. I'm just going to say, could someone maybe grab that phone, because it might be the pizza place calling to see. Just saying. Sorry, distracted. Jesus, we're on you. Jesus. Jesus was wounded so that we might be healed. And we just read that in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. He was crushed, he was wounded, he was pierced through, whipped, that we might be healed. The great exchange. Healing is yours. I think it was shared this morning in pre-service prayer. Healing is the children's bread. Which brings me to my, it's a point coming down a little bit. But we're his children, right? It's ours. Jesus was made sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Again, a scripture that was shared in Crystal's teaching this morning, and I believe we even sang it. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. What an exchange! What an exchange because of the broken body of our Lord. Jesus became poor that we might become rich, and that's 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. He laid down heaven, became like us, lived a very simple life. He didn't have palaces or whatever. He became poor that we might inherit the kingdom of God. He became poor that we might. What an exchange. And you know what? There's also an element of us as believers is prosperity in actual material things here on the earth. That we receive blessing from him. And when we recognize what we have is from God, and we give out generously, we have been blessed to be a blessing. It doesn't matter if all you have to share is a quarter or a loony or $100,000. Maybe you're Elon Musk who can, running alongside with him. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The thing is from him, and it's because of him. You're rich. Any of your richness is from him. What of any of it did you actually make? Even the paper that it's printed on comes from materials from the earth that God created. Jesus became a curse for us so that we might be blessed. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. And those taking notes, that's Galatians 3, 13 and 14. We know the Old Testament where Moses stood before the people and said, look, here's all the cursings and here's all the blessings, choose. And when we choose Jesus, we recognize he took the curse. Because like was taught, we can't walk out everything perfectly, we don't. And then when we get a realization of that, well, we already read, all of us have wandered away like sheep, have done our own thing. He took the curse for us, and we get blessed. What an exchange. What an exchange. Are you glad you're blessed this morning? Are you living blessed this morning? Or are you caught up in what you don't have, what you don't want, or what you know, all the stuff that's going on? I have to challenge, I'm challenging myself in this. Where's your thinking, Shannon? A lot of it's been stinking the last little while. Sorry it has. I'm just being honest. I may be the pastor, but guess what? I'm just a brother and sister. No, I'm not a brother. I'm a sister. Amongst brothers and sisters who know. I know what it's like to stumble and fall. I know what it's like to not always walk in the spirit I should be. But guess what we get to do? Boldly go before the throne of God. Boldly go before the throne of grace, climb up on Papa's lap, throw our arms around his neck, and say, thank you for your forgiveness. I'm sorry, Daddy. Because I have it better than I've been letting myself see. Because of what happened on that cross, I'm proclaiming his death until he returns, because that meant an exchange for me and for you. That is just, now they're tears of joy. Beyond what I can even express. It's so good. It's so good. And where the enemy wants to come along and say, oh, you're a pastor, shame on you. Shame off me. Because Jesus endured our shame so that we might share in his glory. Oh, man, what his body, what he took at that cross. The enemy has nothing on me because of the finished work of Jesus. He has no claim on me because of the finished work of Jesus. The blood of Jesus washed me cleaner and whiter than anything, and it does. It's like Teflon, folks. He took my shame that I might share in his glory. Oh, man, woman, sisters, brothers, what has happened? Oh, man, glory to God. He redeemed us. Oh, sorry. Let me get to the right scripture here. Hebrews 12:2, fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we get to share in that glory. We are seated with him in that throne in heavenly places. What an exchange. Here's another one. Jesus bore our rejection so that we might have acceptance and adoption. Aren't you glad you're a child of God? That you're no longer a part of the kingdom of darkness? That you have been lifted out of that and set on a firm foundation in Jesus? And that all the rejection that was due us, he took. And here we are, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Ephesians 1:5-6, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. You know, it was never God's intention for us to ever be anything other than his son and daughter. It was always his will, and it was his pleasure to create or to put into place this plan through Jesus, where the rejection of all the ick we were would be put on him and taken care of. And now we have this new life. We are new creations. We are part of a new community. We have a new identity. We have new DNA in the kingdom, adopted. Ephesians, like I said, 5 and 6, he predestined us. It was his good pleasure. In verse 6 it says, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely has freely given us in the one, capital O, Jesus, he loves, in the one he loves. His grace is free. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to become somebody else to get it. It's when you yield to him, you receive it. His grace, his favor, his ability to become all that Jesus is, working it out in our hearts. And then in verse 8, or my 8th point here is, Jesus tasted death so that we would have eternal life. Hebrews 2:9. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. He experienced hell for us, folks. But as believers, we don't ever have to. He did it for us. And now we have eternal life. You know, as we come to the communion table here this morning, and we read all of these things and the wonderful exchange that has taken place, I want to share with you a scripture that came as I was preparing. I thought, oh, that's good. You know, I love to go to Revelations and say they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And it goes, but the testimony part. You see, the testimony is, well, I was this and I was that and how terrible I was. And then Jesus, my testimony is about him. Yes, that's where he was, but I'm going to speak about him. I overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony about him. The very things we've talked about here this morning. And if we go to 1 John 5, and I'm going to read verses 8 to 12. And this is talking about the testimony of God in all of this. It says, the Spirit, capital S, the water and the blood, the three are in agreement. The Holy Spirit, the water, and I'm going to just go to the baptism of Jesus. Do you remember what happened when he came up out of the water? What did God say? Well, please. The word of God was spoken. God himself spoken. It's the word of God. This is my beloved son, his word. And then it says the blood. And I'm going to share another scripture in a few minutes about the blood of Jesus. And so it goes on to say, we accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it's the testimony of God. So when we think about what in the Old Testament, you had to have three witnesses in agreement. And right here, we have the Spirit, the Word of God, and the blood of Jesus that all speak to the testimony of Jesus that this is right and this is true. So the testimony of God is greater, which has been given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. And whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony of God that has given about his son, the testimony God has given about his son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his son. And whoever has the son has life, and whoever does not have the son does not have life. There is the testimony. We know because we have the Spirit. We know because we hear his words. We know because of the blood of Jesus. I'm going to read another scripture here from Hebrews 12, and I'm going to read verses 22 to 24. But you have come to Mount Zion. Now again, the writer of Hebrew has just started by talking about, remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they went to the mountain, and the mountain was burning with fire and they weren't allowed to touch it and all that kind of stuff? That's the verses before this. But here's where we are now. But you, believers, brothers and sisters, have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angel in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn. Who's the firstborn?
Jesus,
yeah. To the names who are written in heaven. Whose names are written in heaven?
Ours.
You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of the right of righteousness made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better words than the blood of Abel. And here's where I want to talk about the testimony of the blood. What happened to Abel? He was murdered. By who?
His
very own brother. And his blood cries out for justice. But here's Jesus' blood sprinkled, and you know what it cries out? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Speaks a better word. Aren't you glad you're forgiven? Psalm 22, verse 18. I'm going to explain this in a minute. Come now, let us settle a matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Come, says the Lord, let us settle the matter. The King James Version says, let us reason together. And why am I bringing up this scripture? What does it have to do with anything? Because we're going to read 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 34 now. So Paul has talked about communion and that we are doing this discerning the body of Christ, the death of the Lord, proclaiming it. So then, this is verse 27, so then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup. What are we examining ourselves for? How many have been taught you got to look at all your sins and all your transgressions? You better find out if you are worthy to take the cup. Anybody better taught that? Nobody's, yeah. It's not what it's saying. It's not what it's saying. They ought to examine themselves. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ. If you're going to eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, without discerning the great exchange, without looking at what he paid for. Those are the ones who drink judgment on themselves, because what are they looking at? They're looking at their sin. They're disqualifying themselves. They're doing all the things that have been taken care of by the broken body and the blood of Jesus. Come. The Lord says, let's reason together here. Something happened. Something happened that your sin that would be like scar. Now whiter than so. You're done. That's done. It's through the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus. 30 says, "That's why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep." The Message Bible puts it this way, have died before your time. But if we were more discerning with regards to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Wow. For when you eat this bread and when you drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. I'm forward. And you received the bread and the cup. And as we partake in this holy moment, receive the great exchange. So, Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus. And Jesus, in your great love for the Father and for us, you came and bore in your body all the dysfunction, sickness, illness, disability, pain, and suffering for our transgressions and iniquities. Your body broken for us so that we might receive all that was yours. It's now ours. We give you honor, glory, and we proclaim your death till you return. Thank you for your body. Let us partake. And we take the cup. And we recognize the shedding of your blood, the sprinkling of your blood that speaks of better things, the new covenant, the forgiveness of sins through your finished work, Lord. And as we partake, we receive again the great exchange, our sin for your righteousness. Let us partake. And Lord, as we have eaten of the broken body, taken into us the bread and received it, the new thing, the new creation, as we have drank the cup and received the forgiveness of our sins, we thank you, Lord, and we stand singing, "Great is our God, great is his faithfulness, great is his Messiah, and great is the exchange that has taken place." Oh, Lord, we glorify you, be lifted high, and we thank you, and we proclaim your death until your return. Amen and amen. 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 Why don't you rise with me? Rod, I'll get you. Rod, you want to come and get mine? Sorry, I could have done that too. This is a holy moment. This has been a holy time together. And so, Lord, we just again, I ask your blessing to continue to rest upon all my brothers and sisters here. I thank you again for the beautiful table that has been before us and what we have received. And I pray, Lord, that in every area where there has been pain, struggle, suffering, iniquity, transgression, that we will recognize the exchange that took place for us. And that we will receive what you died to give us. We are going to continue to proclaim your goodness in all the earth. And all the saints and the children of God said, amen, amen. Amen.